Hey everyone, and welcome back for episode 26 of the Hot Take Podcast. On today's show, we discuss AD's calf strain, what's next for Andre Drummond, Blake Griffin, and Lonzo Ball, and our hot takes, which include Airbnb in Charlotte, Kyrie and James Harden, LeBron and Kuzma, and the most improved player conversation. Enjoy.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to Hot Take, where I, along with my co-hosts Nat and Lawrence, give you our hottest takes on all things NBA. What's up, fellas? How's everybody doing? It's been a week since we last seen each other. How's everybody doing?
I think doing good.
Can't complain.
Getting ready for some more snow. That's the only bad thing.
Oh, man.
I'm over the snow, man. I'm over it. I heard, like, even people down in Texas getting some snow. Texas, Louisiana.
Right.
It's crazy. Yeah. Crazy stuff. You know what's even crazier than this bad weather is the NBA right now.
Oh, I heard that coming, right? I did, yeah. That was good.
Good setup.
Thank you. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a crazy week, right? Especially, I feel like within the last 48 to 24 hours, just bombshell after bombshell. And that's actually what we're going to start off with today as we do today's show, of course, is with our top stories. And I think the biggest story, which, of course, I hate talking about, but I know Nat loves it, being the Lakers fan that he is. But this one might be a little bit bittersweet. Your boy AD, the brow, Anthony Davis.
Yeah. Oh, I was about to cry last night, low-key.
So last night in the game, right? Nat, who were they playing last night?
They were playing the Denver Nuggets. It's a kind of a rematch of the Western Conference Finals of last year.
And in the middle of that game, AD goes out, yes. Right? You saw him limping. He took his free throw shots because based on NBA rules, if you're unable to take your free throw shots, you can no longer come into the game. Mm-hmm. But because he took those free throw shots, if he came out of the game and came back, he would still be eligible. However, he did not return. And that tendon, it's an Achilles tendon that has been bothering him, which caused him to miss a couple of games over the last few weeks, right? Mm-hmm. For people who don't know. So they say that he was going to undergo an MRI today. And me personally, I always wince, you know, I cringe a little when it's anything that has to deal with the Achilles tendon. And the news dropped today, less than an hour ago, that the MRI reveals that Anthony Davis has a calf strain and will be reevaluated in 2 to 3 weeks. So,
okay,
Lawrence, how does that make you feel knowing that after the MRI, they've concluded that it is a calf strain?
It's definitely like a sigh of relief for sure, but it's still, you're not out of the water yet. We don't know if it's going to be okay in 2 to 3 weeks. We don't know what it's going to be like going forward. So it's just a breath of fresh air for right now, and we'll have to see when he gets reevaluated.
What about for you, Nat, being the Lakers fan that you are? How do you feel about this prognosis, this diagnosis?
I think we can all agree that if AD is not there, they have no chance of winning another championship. So when I heard the news that he might have, you know, strained or hurt his Achilles, I was like, oh my gosh, please do not be real news. I hope this is fake. Turns out it's just a calf strain. Thank goodness. But I think he admitted to playing through being hurt in the previous game or the past two games. He said that he was hurt and he played through hurt, you know, him being hurt. So the team doctors should have said, you know what, let's just rest him. And now look, they didn't rest him. This is what happens. Now they have to, wait for him to recover weeks or even months. Who knows? The wise choice would be to rest him for now. Don't let him play on Thursday against the Nets. All right. Don't do that. It will be fun to watch, but don't do that. So, I mean, yeah, AD, if you hear this, I doubt you will, but if you hear this, get better soon. I love you.
You know, I don't mean to burst your bubble or like get your hopes up or, you know, bring you down in any type of way. But the news that an MRI reveals that it's a calf strain, that worries me a lot. Because not even 2 years ago, or a little over 2 years ago, somebody else suffered a calf strain, which caused them to miss some playoff time, you know, especially in the early rounds of the playoffs. But then he decided to come in, you know, game five of the NBA Finals. And just like that. And that's Kevin Durant. And we know what happened to Kevin Durant with a calf strain. I feel like anything that has to do, like, remotely near the Achilles tendon, like, that's just not nothing to mess with. Like, they're saying, oh, we're going to reevaluate him in 2 to 3 weeks. Just sit him out. Sit him out for a whole month. Like, the Lakers aren't going to go anywhere. You know, like, they're not. It's not like he's the type of player where you take him out of that lineup, the Lakers just completely fall apart. Like, I'm sure you have LeBron James. Your team is stacked. Get some other guys some reps in there. Don't even go there. Don't even go there with me.
They're well equipped. They're well equipped, but they're not stacked.
You have the reigning Sixth Man of the Year, plus somebody who was in the running for Sixth Man of the Year. You have the AC.
These are bench players.
Yeah, Alan Caruso. You have Caldwell Pope.
That's a great player. He's decent. He's decent. All right. Our third best guy is Kyle Kuzma. Are you kidding me?
Kyle Kuzma. You have THT. Like, your team is stacked. Compared to any other team. Yo, you can't. Don't go there with me. Compared to any other team in the NBA.
The Nets?
Your team is stacked. Yeah, the Nets are stacked, too. The Nets are stacked,
What is your definition of stacked?
More than the Lakers.
When you have more, if you have three or more all-stars on your team is stacked.
LeBron, AD.
Okay, LeBron counts as two, and AD counts as two. You have four all-stars. You have four all-stars. Don't even.
Oh, my.
I mean, you have, like, on any other team, Montrezl Harrell would be a starting center. You know what I mean?
Too small. Like,
look at Bam Adebayo. He's listed at 6'11". You know, he's probably closer to like 6'9", 6'10". He's a starting center.
All right. That's true. I'll give you that.
But anyway, I digress.
We digress.
Anthony Davis, like, his injury scares me. It honestly does scare me you want him to succeed. You want him to be healthy. So, like, how long do you sit out for? Because people thought the amount of time that Kevin Durant sat out for was enough time, but it clearly wasn't. You know, and, like, we saw what happened with Klay, you know, before the season started, you know, and him tearing his Achilles. Like, you just don't want any – some, especially, like, you've heard, you know, Kobe. It happened to Kobe. You know, it happened to Klay. It happened to Wes Matthews. These smaller guards who they do come back, but of course they're not exactly the same. You have KD, who is on the taller side, you know, Boogie Cousins, who is on the taller side, and, you know, they've been able to come back, but Anthony Davis is, he's a big dude, you know, like, he's probably the same height as KD, but you never see somebody like that coming back, or you hear in recent news somebody like that coming back, you know, at a full 100%. So, like, who knows? You don't want anything to happen to that Achilles tendon or that Achilles, you know, that area of the leg in general. You don't want anything happening to that. So that story, like, that kind of scares me. That scares me quite a bit, honestly. So that was probably the biggest news within the last 48 hours was Anthony Davis, more so the last 24 hours. Some other big news that's come about within the last couple of days has been players who at one point in time were all-stars, all NBA type guys, people who have big names associated with who they are, that are now on the verge of either not being on the same team, like on the current roster, or they're being asked to sit out for the entire season. For example, like, let's go on to Andre Drummond, right? We said this especially when the trade first happened, the big trade with James Harden going to the Brooklyn Nets, the Cavs acquired Jared Allen and Torian Prince. And I'm like, what are you going to do with all these big men? And this is exactly what I said was going to happen. Now you have Andre Drummond, who is their current big man. They're saying they're not going to play him at center anymore. So what do you do with Andre Drummond? Lawrence, what's your take on Andre Drummond and his situation with the Cavs? And if there's a team that you would like to see him go to?
We touched upon it last week, actually, that Drummond was one of his landing destinations was the Lakers. So if AD is sitting out, or if he ends up hurting this Achilles, what a replacement for one AD would Andre Drummond be, right? One AD for one another AD, right? Yeah, I mean, I think that would be a great fit for him, you know, just slide him in right into the system.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think the Cavs are doing what's best for them. They're not in a position to win right now. They have a surplus of big men. And why not get rid of the guy with the biggest salary? Free up some money to be able to maybe get some free agents in the summer to be able to pair them with the pieces that they have right now.
Now, for you, I don't even think I should ask this question. Where do you think would be a good spot for Andre Drummond?
This might shock you, but he should go to the Raptors.
Okay.
He should go to the Raptors. I personally want him to go to the Raptors because that gives him a fighting chance to be a 6th, 7th, or 8th seed, you know, in the playoffs. Because right now they're kind of hanging by a thin thread. He would provide obviously great rebounding, you know, big man depth. So of course I want him on the Raptors. You know, Lawrence brought up a good point about the Lakers. I think that's also a good spot. You know, of course I'm biased, but personally I love Toronto. So I have to go bias in that direction and say Toronto as well.
So here are some other, aside from LA and Toronto, here are some other potential landing spots that I've heard. One was being Boston. I think that would be a great fit. Low post scoring big man that gets you boards. You know, like, yeah, they have Tristan Thompson, but
yeah.
Drummond is just a little bit above that caliber of a player, right?
Yeah.
Some other potential landing spots that I've heard, Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, God.
What?
Brooklyn. Yeah, Brooklyn. Happens. They need.
Who are they going to trade?
Probably a buyout, right? They might.
Probably a buyout or something. They would find a way to make it work, but they need defense. Clearly, they need defense. They need rebounding. You need a low post presence. And the last team that I've been hearing is the Dallas Mavericks, who also could use the skill set of an Andre Drummond. Imagine Andre Drummond and Luka Doncic together. Like, I know they already have, you know, KP, but you can't rely on KP. At least you can rely on Andre Drummond to give you, you know, 20 and 10. You know, something like that. At least something like that. I mean, like, you know, when you look at it, like right now, like Andre Drummond he's averaging, you know, 18 points a game, 14 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and he's shooting really well from the field. So I feel like, you know, that's in any of those places, he's going to give you something. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to help your team tremendously.
Right.
The other player that has been sadly on the end of, you know, we're not going to trade you, we're not going to play you because we don't know what to do with you quite yet, is Blake Griffin.
Oh.
The drop-off from Blake Griffin is just so sad to see and to hear about. I mean, the Pistons basically pulled him aside, was like, listen, we're just going to sit you out until we find out what to do with you. Lawrence, what do you feel about Blake Griffin in the situation that he's in?
I mean, if you play well, you deserve to play. He has just not been playing well at all this year. So, I mean, he does not deserve to play. It kind of sucks that, like you said, the drop-off. You know, he was all-star a few years ago, maybe a couple years ago even. So it's sad to see wherever he goes. I'm sure he'll try and make a difference. We'll see if it changes things, changes scenery.
I mean, like you said, like the drop off. I mean, last year he was averaging, you know, almost 16 points a game. This year he's only averaging about 12, you know, if that. I mean, his assists have gone up and like his rebounding has slightly improved. But I mean, it's almost like night and day, you know, when you compare what he was from even just a few years ago to what he is now. Now, what's your take on Blake Griffin?
So I see the stat here. Right now, he's shooting 36.5% from the field and 31.5% from the three-point range. I mean, oh, man. He's been on the decline for sure. Also, is it true that he has not attempted a dunk since, what, 2019? Isn't that a stat that I've been hearing around?
Really?
Or 2018? What it was like his last in-game dunk came about 2 years ago.
It's crazy.
This is coming from somebody who was one of the top dunkers.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
For years.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he hasn't dunked in over, 2 years. It's just really sad to see, who knows with the injuries, the knee problems that he's constantly had. Right. But for you guys, we'll start with Nat. If you wanted to see him on another team, what team would you want to see him on? Don't say the Lakers.
Okay. Say the Lakers. No. That was not my pick first. Definitely on a contender team. A team that has a chance to make it to the playoffs and maybe even win. Who knows? But for me, this might be surprising, but I want to see him either on Boston or Charlotte. But more so on Charlotte. I think he'd be good with Charlotte. Helping out LaMelo and Gordon Hayward. Also, like all that young talent with a Scary Terry and, Airbnb, which we'll get to in a little bit. But I think him there would be pretty cool. So I'm picking Charlotte.
I seem to remember rumors probably from before the season about him going potentially to the Celtics, which would also be a really interesting fit. But I don't know if that messes with what they currently have now. What is he going to potentially bring to the table to a young roster like that? Lawrence, is there a team in mind that you would like to see Blake go to?
Yeah, maybe. I don't see him going to a contender with the way he's playing right now. I don't know, see a contender wanting to trade for him. So I think him going to a younger team to be able to mentor and I guess instill a culture into the team, maybe like the Orlando Magic. They're a young team that need, I guess, guidance. okay, you've been in a winning position before. We got pieces that can maybe turn it into something down there in Orlando.
I mean, also Orlando, they just need players. Like all their main players are injured. They don't even have a starting point guard right now. Like they're all injured. Yeah. So I think one of the other potential teams that comes to mind, if you're talking contenders, would be Brooklyn if they can get Andre Drummond. But again, how much is he going to be able to contribute to a team like that? Mm-hmm. It's highly unlikely. But imagine Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan, together again.
Yeah.
Who knows? The last one I want to get to, and this will kind of wrap up our top stories, is Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball's been in some more trade rumors. I feel like, especially over the last few weeks, there's always been he's on the trading block. We're open to discussions for Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball, I think those conversations are starting to heat up, and there's been some potential teams, namely the Chicago Bulls. Chicago Bulls have shown interest in Lonzo Ball. Lawrence, do you think Lonzo Ball in Chicago makes sense, or do you think he fits better with what the Pelicans have?
I think he fits better with the Pelicans. I can't really see him on the Bulls, right? Zion and Lonzo, they already have that connection well established. So I don't know why would they want to try to disrupt that. Sending him to Chicago, it's another young team, but they don't really have the pieces, and it's kind of just at that point, I don't see that happening.
For me, I'm not sure because I haven't really watched the Bulls play that often. But obviously, if you pair him with Zach LaVine, it's going to be a good combination. He's going to facilitate. Zach will obviously score, or do other offensive things. But I did watch the Pelicans play Dallas last Friday, and I watched Lonzo play a little bit, and he didn't really seem in rhythm with the rest of the guys. Kind of stumbling with the ball and stuff. So I'm not sure if he's a good fit in New Orleans. I do want to see him not in a Pelicans jersey after the trade deadline. So hopefully in a Bulls uniform.
I agree with Lawrence in the sense, I don't fully think that Lonzo in Chicago makes a whole lot of sense. It might make sense for the Pelicans, depending on who they get back for Lonzo. Because the main issue right now for the Pelicans is their shooting. They have no outside shooting whatsoever from their guard position, at least. They have nothing. They need something. Mm-hmm. So if you made a trade Lonzo Ball for Kobe White, somebody that can potentially give you something from deep. But again, I don't know how much sense that makes to me. On paper, it just doesn't add up. I mean, it's hard because he has the connection with Zion. That makes sense. But, you know, what happens when it's 2 minutes left, you're down by, you know, 4 or 6, or you're hanging on to a lead? You know, how can you do that when you don't have outside scoring? Mm-hmm. Or the threat of an outside shooter. I mean, granted, like, some of his numbers have improved, which is good. His shooting form has drastically improved, which is good. So I don't think I like the trade to Chicago. I'm not 100% down for that. Interesting. This kind of brings us now to our hot take segment. This is where Nat, Lawrence, and I give you our hottest takes on different categories that are happening in the NBA. And one of the main ones that's kind of taken storm over the last few days, I would say, and arguably one of the more compelling, more electrifying teams to watch, is the Charlotte Hornets and their newfound Airbnb, or, you know, Air Ball and Bridges, you know, that duo right there. Lawrence, what do you think? Do you think this is the most exciting team to watch in the NBA right now? Like, how do you feel about Charlotte?
They're definitely exciting. It's not only their play, but I think their announcers definitely add to their excitement. I don't know if you guys have like heard yeah. them, but like, they go absolutely
They are the
wild.
Most hype commentators. Like, they are awesome.
Yeah. I'm, like, if we could get like film of them like commentating, I'm sure they're like jumping up and down out of their seats, like,
oh, for sure.
Their papers all over the place. Like, they make it so much more fun to watch them. But LaMelo, he is such an exciting player to watch, you know, like the Airbnb connection. It's, and it adds like, and, you know, another nickname, just more fun to it. They're just young team. They want to prove something. So definitely very excited to watch them.
Now, how do you feel about Hornets and Airbnb?
Let me ask you first though. Did you have the Hornets in your top 8 in the East, Kuya?
I did not.
Yeah. You see that? You see that?
I did not.
Just watch.
Let the people know where Charlotte stand right now. Let them know. Let them know.
Like, currently, they're what? They're 8th right now, I believe? What
they're 6th. They're sixth right
wow.
now.
Sixth
in the East.
Man, look at that. So, I mean, you know, you had maybe a Blake Griffin. I'm just kidding. But Airbnb right now is looking pretty legit. I mean, they complement each other pretty well. It's always nice seeing Lonzo pass like that and like be a good facilitator. So, yeah, I believe it.
I feel people underestimate the value of a Gordon Hayward and what he's brought to this team. myself included, because Gordon has been going off. Let's be honest. Like, he's been putting in work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, he not only has that veteran, you know, presence, but what he's able to do on the court. And LaMelo is just so fun to watch. I don't know if it's because social media always blows up LaMelo. You know, I forgot who was it, like RDC, like
RDC
Supreme,
yes.
or whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, they did that parody video on what it's like watching LaMelo and the highlight videos of Melo. Like, he's just on the bench, like waving a towel, and like the cameras all are on LaMelo. Like, you see him wave that towel? Wow! like every little thing he does, like, it's just gassed up like 110%. But I will admit, to see him and Miles Bridges, like what they're able to do, it is really fun to watch. It is really exciting. And I think this has probably been the best thing that's happened to them since Kemba.
Yep.
You know, since they drafted Kemba and what Kemba's been doing. So I'm happy for Charlotte. At least they have something to root for now. I mean, 6th in the East, that's better than my team. I mean, granted, my team is catching up. My team is getting there. Up.
They are.
They're 9th right now, so they're at least in the, you know, in that play-in spot. But they are fun to watch, and they've been playing like it. I feel like when you have fun and you're winning games, you're going to keep winning games. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean, you know, they make it to the playoffs? Yeah, I think they will. Are they going to be successful in the playoffs? I certainly don't think so. I just don't. I don't. I think the top of the East is just too stacked for them to make it further than the second round. There's no way. The next hot take I wanted to get into, which was also a top story over the last couple of days, has been Kyrie and what he said to James Harden. And he was like, listen, you be the point guard, I'll be the shooting guard. Lawrence, what's your take on Kyrie saying, like, I'll be the shooting guard, I'll handle all the scoring? What's your take on that?
Yeah, we were mentioning before in previous episodes that at least one of them needed to take the back seat and be the, you know, the third option. Although Kyrie might not have liked it, I'm sure he was like, I am definitely not better than KD or Harden, so I guess I got to do it. So, I mean, I guess it takes a lot of humility for him to be able to do that and come out and say it publicly. So I commend him on that. And I think he can make some noise. Harden's been playing well at the point. So I kind of like the move. I like the switch of them.
See, so that's ideal for James Harden to be at point and then Kyrie at shooting guard. Kyrie can score better, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I want to ask you guys, because I heard this from, I think it's Shannon and Skip Bayless. They were talking about how Kyrie saying that, you know, to James, like, you're the point guard, I'm a shooting guard. It sounds like he wants to be the decision maker of the team. Like, he wants to sound as if, like, he's the one controlling everybody and what they're doing. Not as if, like, he's being humble and, like, you know, kind of giving him, like, the reins, so to speak. He wants to kind of be that, like, dramatic in a way, telling, like, hey, like, I'm letting everyone know that I want him. I didn't, you know, like, let them choose for me. I'm choosing this for myself. I will let James be. He's trying to sound like that. You know what I mean?
That's so interesting. That's
interesting.
Okay.
I'm not sure if that's the actual, like, motives, but if it was, that'd be hilarious. Because, you know, you're not Kyrie.
That sounds a lot more.
It wouldn't surprise. Yeah, it wouldn't be surprised.
But also, like what they said also in their show, they've played 11 games together so far, and now you're saying that. Like, they've had plenty of experience. Why are you going to say that now? So that's also one thing.
You know, this kind of brings me back to when the whole trade first went down, right? And, like, everybody was roasting James Harden. I mean, myself included. Like, it was – the way he went about it to me was confusing. But we always said there's always two stories – there's two sides to every story, right? And we needed to find out what James Harden's side was. And, you know, it wasn't too long ago when he finally came out and he said it. Like, you know, his thing in Houston was that, you know, every single night he had to get 40 points just to give them a chance to win. Mm-hmm. Now imagine doing that for 7 years, 8 years straight, year in, year out. Like, that's extremely draining. So for him to come to want to come to Brooklyn, you see why. Because now he can kind of take a step back and do what he really loves. Because what a lot of people forget is when he first came to Houston, he was an amazing – I mean, he's always been a really good facilitator, but he was really, really good at facilitating and, you know, passing the ball around and getting movement going. Mm-hmm. But then he started to realize that if they were going to have a chance year in and year out, he would have to have scoring outputs of 40-plus more a game. And I think we've kind of seen, especially in the history of the playoffs with James Harden, that's not his comfort zone. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't want to have to be the guy that puts up 50, 60 in a game just to give you, you know, the series win. Like, he would rather facilitate. And he could do that with Brooklyn. But I agree with that, you know, in the sense where Kyrie finally coming out and saying it and saying, like, yeah, you know, like, I don't mind being the shooting guard. He could be the point guard. Like, it's just weird. The timing of everything is just weird. I also feel like I don't know if that's something that needed to be said. You know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm. The whole thing is just weird. One of the other things I wanted to get into and get your guys' hot takes on is, again, I hate doing it. You were talking about Nat's, you know, favorite topic in all things NBA. We're going to talk about the Lakers.
But who the
primarily Lakers? We're going to talk about Ron Braun and Kyle Kuzma. Kyle AKA Kuzma. The
Oh, man.
Braun and Kuz, AKA the Flop Brothers. The Flop Brothers get fined.
Oh, man.
We talked about this in the show before, right? And, like, I came to Braun's defense. I came to his defense and I said he needs to flop because he's just so massive and strong that ordinary fouls don't look like fouls to him, to refs at least, you know what I mean? Where it's like he could be getting hacked and the refs won't call it just because he's so massive and strong. He'll still get the shot up somehow, but he is getting fouled, which is why he had to resort to flopping. My question to you, Lawrence and Nat, we'll go to Lawrence first. How egregious was Braun's flop against the Timberwolves that night?
Grizzlies.
Oh, Grizzlies.
I mean, two words. Gross and hypocritical. Like, this man complains like every time a, like a, you know, awful flop call gets called against him. He's like, you see him like doing this, you know, complaining like, what? For like, like 5 minutes straight. It's like, how could you do that? You know, he didn't even get hit. You know, like maybe like a brush, and he's flopping as if he got hit by Conor McGregor or something.
Right, right. Now let me ask you this, because you can't show your bias here. Which one was worse, Braun or Kuzma? Oh. Which flop was worse?
Okay, so in my honest opinion, no bias, no bias. This is legit. Like what I really think, it's Kuzma, because Kuzma did. He did like a straight up like dance move, like a little like yes. ballet or like a little like twirl, like out of the court. It was so hilarious watching that. I was like, but Braun was like, I don't know what he just fell to the ground. Like that was just plain and simple. But Kuzma, he like did like seven spins and then like was under the basket. But this whole flop thing, I get it. Like it's ridiculous. Like even I, you know, as a Lakers fan, that's ridiculous. Like you shouldn't be doing that. But also the other side of the story, because there's two sides. It's that sometimes the refs don't see these calls or they don't see what's happening. Like, obviously, it's a tough job for the refs. They're looking at every single, all 10 players on the court. And there are times where you might not see what LeBron is, you know, or what's happening with LeBron or whatever. So he has to kind of over-exaggerate those, you know, moves or whichever he does. But again, it was awful what they did. I didn't like it at all. But hey, I mean, it's a game now. It's all part of the game.
I just have one question for you, Nat.
What is it?
Is this your king?
Oh no!
Oh yes, yes.
Is this your goat? The goat of flopping, maybe. Yeah, goat of flopping.
Yes, it's all right. He's doing what he needs to do. Okay.
Oh my gosh! This is my thing with the whole Braun and Kuz flopping, right? We even talked about this with AJ where sometimes I feel like, okay, good leaders will rub off on, you know, their teammates, right? But not all things that rub off are good things, like flopping. And this is not the first time Braun has got teammates to start flopping, because prior to LeBron coming to Miami, D-Wade never used to flop like that. Chris Bosh never used to flop like that. But after the arrival of LeBron, you start to see those guys flopping. Mm-hmm. You know, when usually the Cavs, you see guys flopping. And then now with the Lakers, you see guys flopping. I will be appalled if Anthony Davis starts flopping. There's no need for him to be flopping. Like, as massive as he is, there's no need to be flopping. One of the other things I wanted to bring up as we move along with our hot takes is most improved player. This is something that we've discussed multiple times on this show. You know, we've mentioned Colin Sexton. We've mentioned Zion Williamson. And we've also named, like, even a few other players. Julius Randle has been thrown into the mix. Mm-hmm. Let me throw out another name, and let me get your guys' take on that. Lawrence, do you think Andrew Wiggins is a candidate for most improved player?
I think he can be in the conversation, but I don't think he would be, like, a leading candidate.
Okay, what about you, Nat?
I think he could be, but I don't see it fully happening. He's definitely improved defensively. He's making his presence known in the Warriors, helping out Steph Curry. But there's just too many good picks or good choices out there currently for Andrew Wiggins to overshine and be the top pick.
So if he's not going to be the most improved player, do you guys at least think that he should be a candidate for, you know, an all-defensive NBA team? Like maybe third team all-defense. Maybe second team. And the reason I bring this up, right, I'll just give you guys some numbers here. These are players who have been guarded by Andrew Wiggins this season. Kawhi Leonard, he's scored 4 points. He's had three assists, 5 turnovers, no three-pointers made, and he shot 2 for 12 when guarded by Andrew Wiggins. DeMar DeRozan has 11 points, 3 assists, 3 turnovers, 1 3-pointer made, shooting 3 for 13. Jason Tatum has 5 points, no assists, 2 turnovers, 1 3-pointer made, shooting 2 for 6. And you have Malcolm Brogdon, who scored 2 points, 1 assist, no turnovers, no 3-pointers made, shooting 0 for 3. These are top tier, you know, offensive players getting locked down by Andrew Wiggins. So do you think there's an argument for him to at least make an all NBA defensive team? Because yes. I certainly think there is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. So I think we all are in agreement with that. You know, let's get him all defense. Hopefully he gets votes for that. Because I feel like a lot of his defensive showcasings this season have kind of gone unnoticed, with the exception of the Kawhi Leonard one, because that was like a big, massive one. And, you know, the Warriors beat the Clippers and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And Andrew Wiggins had that amazing defensive output in the final seconds there. So let's get Andrew Wiggins on an all-defensive NBA team. The last thing we're going to do for Hot Take, we're going to play a really quick game. I want you guys to tell me whether or not it's a big deal or it's not a big deal. Big deal, no big deal. Okay, so the first one, we'll go Lawrence and then Nat. The first one, the Jazz are number one in the power rankings. Is that a big deal? No big deal.
I think that's a big deal for right now, right? Like, who would have thought the Jazz, right, out of all the teams in the West? It might be just be a temporary thing, but for right now, it's a big deal. Like, it opens your eyes.
Nat?
Big deal. Also, second round exit.
Oh, my God.
I think it's a big deal because, myself included, I think in the preseason standings that we did, I had them like 7 to 8 range. Mm-hmm. But this is the first season that they've been fully healthy, and we're seeing what they're capable of doing. Mind you, they went to a Game 7 against the Denver Nuggets last season, and they weren't fully healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They didn't even have Mike Conley for a lot of those playoff games. And now to have, you know, a healthy Mike Conley, you know, Bojan Bogdanovic, and the whole crew, basically, Gobert, Jordan Clarkson coming into his own as a Sixth Man of the Year candidate. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this team is, I think they're legit. You know, I think they're actually legit and very deserving of that number one ranking. Let's see if they're able to, you know, hold that up, but we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
The second one that I wanted to ask you guys, Kawhi needs a PG. Is that a big deal? No big deal. And the reason why I asked this one, if you guys saw their game, this one was against the Timberwolves, where Kawhi had great positioning. I don't know what Reggie Jackson was doing, but Kawhi had great post-up positioning and did not get him the ball. Kawhi even set a screen for him and reposted. And what did Reggie Jackson do? He threw it away for the turnover. What is Reggie Jackson doing? Guys, Kawhi needing a real point guard. Is that a big deal or no big deal?
Yeah, that's a big deal. Just to follow up on what you said, I guess Reggie Jackson was following the time, I guess the flashbacks to Linsanity. Linsanity was around this time. And
it was, yeah.
Right. I don't know if you guys remember the video, Jeremy Lin waving off Kobe. Game winner. So I don't know. Maybe Reggie Jackson.
He hit it though.
Right, right. But like, he's like, this is my time to shine. This is my Jeremy Lin moment. But it just did not come to fruition. But get Kawhi a point guard. You gotta pass him in. I don't care what that guy's thinking.
Now, what's your take?
And even in the video too, you saw Kawhi go like this. He was like, so by that reaction, yes, it's a big deal. We need a new point guard. I guess Pat Bev also doesn't do the job. You see his no look three against the against the Cavs.
Years ago? Oh yeah,
man, that was good. Pat Bev.
He was asking for his clout.
That's right.
I'm glad you brought up Pat Bev, because you saw recently his people brought up his high school stats.
Yeah.
What?
This man averaged 37 points a game
in high school.
And something like, I think it was maybe 8 assists or 8 steals, one or the other. Maybe one of those is flip flopped. But like, I saw like somebody was like, man, just imagine you just finish your algebra homework and like some guy drops 37 on you and then locks you down for like 6 or 8 steals. That's a rough night already. But yeah, I mean, Pat Bev, I think he's been in and out of the lineup, but they definitely need a solid point guard. Definitely.
Yeah.
So the last one I wanted to bring up, Nat, we'll start with you on this one.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, God.
Here we go.
So last night, Devin Booker goes off on Ben Simmons. Is this a big deal or no big deal?
It's a big deal. It's a battle of the Kendall Jenner X's right here. I saw that too. Man. I saw that and I was like, yes, yes. Because like, it was just hilarious. Because I do not like the Sixers, so obviously, that was a good thing. But also because it's a Kendall Jenner reunion, X's reunion. So Booker got impressed,
You got to show out.
Exactly.
Lawrence, what's your take, Lawrence? Big deal or no big deal?
Definitely a big deal. You got to rub it in as much as you can, if you can. And you definitely did.
I saw a funny post. Somebody was like, you can't tell me this wasn't personal. D-Bug definitely took it personal, man. He did. Dropped 36. Dropped 36 on the Sixers. And just a fun little tidbit to add on to that. That was the only second loss for the starting lineup, the go-to starting lineup for the Philadelphia 76ers. That lineup has only lost twice this season. I think they're 13-2 right now with that starting lineup.
They play the Jazz tonight, right? So we'll
see. I believe so.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
We'll see. We shall see. So with that, that kind of wraps up our show for today. Before we go, Nat, Lawrence, did you guys want to plug anything, shout anything out? No, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to my boy Joe. This is my barber. It's kind of hard to see right now because I got all the gear on. But I want to shout out Joe and Joe's Barbershop. You can follow the barbershop on Joe's Barbershop of CV on Instagram. That's Central Valley. Shout out to Joe. Thank you for always keeping me looking fresh. I know you guys know what it's like.
And I like that cut.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Nice compliments to Joe. You know what I mean? Joe always hooks it up. So if you're ever in the area, you need a good, nice clean cut, just hit up Joe at Joe's Barbershop. So with that, everybody, I just want to say, especially with the upcoming, inclement weather, everybody stay safe, stay healthy, stay warm, do what you got to do, and we'll see everybody next time.
This has been a Fuse Podcast original produced by yours truly, Nat, with music by Johnny C.